We're living in the age of podcasting, which also means the age of podcast networks with large back catalogs, long-running series, limited programming, and even cross-network collaborations. How are publishers supposed to keep this all organized? With Spreaker, of course. Spreaker's customizable publisher plan lets you organize your content exactly how you want it and gives you enough pod tech tools to monetize the largest back catalogs. If you're into premium offerings for subscribers, check out Spreaker's customized RSS feeds to upload and schedule exclusive content with ease. Or use our campaign manager to manage different campaigns from one central platform. Once your podcast business gets big enough, you can even add multiple networks to one account and collaborators assigned to each one. That helps keep the true crime series away from the comedy podcasts and make sure you get the advertisements that will resonate the most with your listeners. So let's move from the age of podcasting to the age of the podcast network with Spreaker. Head to Spreaker.com to learn more. That's Spreaker.com.
Welcome to the Porcher and Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio here on Spreaker.com. It's where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. Porcher Online Bible Study was created to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord and to find and restore the priesthood of the believer and reestablish that world-shaking influence the early church had, and we do that by not filtering it, not watering it down, and taking the word, especially the red letter basics, for the way they were written. Church age is still in effect. It's not over. The fire still falls. We have a job to do, and that's why the porch is here. It's an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to find us, if you have any questions, you can use the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do at Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. Make sure you have the Spreaker app on your digital devices and bookmark Firefall Talk Radio. You can share it with others. If you want to find it online, the main address is spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. All one word, lowercase. We appreciate you, your support and your encouragement, especially our old Blog Talk listeners, iTunes and iHeartRadio listeners. I hope we still have you since we switched to the main Firefall site instead of the compartmentalized show. I have not gotten any confirmation as to whether the changes were made or not. Continue to pray for the victims of hurricane and tropical storm Florence. They're still being impacted. The rivers are still overflowing and flooding. Pray for America. We're in the midst of some really ugly times right now, and I'm not going to get into it on a Bible study. I've got my feelings and my opinions, but I'll say one thing for sure. Hasatan and the fallen have definitely got their hand in the mix. Praise reports and prayer requests. Well, I praise the Lord for my home, the home that I'm doing this in, the technology that he's allowed me to acquire to do it, for my lovely wife, for our family, our sons, daughter-in-laws, our grandson, JJ, for our furry kids, and everything he's given us. We love him, especially for our salvation. We are a family of believers. Everybody's born again. Everybody is spirit-filled. You know, I praise him for this ministry, the things that he lets me work for him, the dreams and the visions and the fact that his word is still alive, it's still valid. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I praise him for that. I praise him for being a new creation, coming up on 30 years of my salvation in a couple of weeks. and the fact that I was born into and living in these prophetic times. And I praise him for being here while these things are going on, for the signs that he's giving us, and I am excited about his return. Keep our brothers and sisters around the world in prayer, especially in Africa. More were slaughtered there over the ethnic cleansing and the burning of churches. Pray for the Middle East, especially Jerusalem and the peace of Israel, which means you are praying for the Prince of Peace to return. I pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. I really sincerely pray for all of the innocents in the womb, out of the womb, human and furry. We have really not done a good job of protecting them. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me and in all of you. As I mentioned last week, I'm dealing with the injured right knee, going for an MRI tomorrow. But you know what? I will praise the Lord. No matter what, I will praise him. I'm praying for healing for all of us, my wife and all of you, everything you're going through. Let's get back to our divine design. This is not the time to be sick or infirmed or laid up. But I will tell you this, even stuck in my recliner, praising the Lord and prayer and being under my prayer shawl and doing what I could from where I was, I got to tell you folks, there's no reason to not be engaged spiritually. I pray for divine protection over us and all of you, for inspiration of us. As always, I pray for the remnant to rise up and answer the call to action. If you're able to bless, be a blessing. And I pray that we could get out there and do what he's called us to do in these times, to spread the gospel, set the captives free. Stacy in Texas, she has a huge praise report, another huge praise report. Husband Neil finally got his first paycheck after waiting 2 months. If you don't know it, teachers don't get paid regularly like everybody else. It's kind of funny how the school will sit on their money for a month before they get paid, so she's thankful for that. For her family, furry kids, and like-minded believers in her life. She said, without even one of those things, life would be so empty. She said, thanks God daily for her husband, her kids, for the porch, and her pastor, for her bestie, Kim. Yes, you got me to say bestie, Stacy. Says, I have so many things on my heart for prayer. Said, I'll leave it as unspoken for my marriage, my family, my mom, and Kim. She's asking for prayer for her new baby Hattie, who gets really bad hiccups every time she eats, sometimes can't even catch her breath. Doctor says it's a type of reflux, nothing can be done. Well, Father, in the name of Yeshua, name above all names, touch that baby right now, heal what needs to be healed, and bring this disruption to an end. She's asking for prayer. She said, may God give all of us his children the strength and courage to endure this world. May he comfort those who are persecuted and those who suffer from depression. She said, God, please can teach me the sound of your voice. Show me how to be a light and help me not doubt. So I can't fight back if I have doubt. Show me what to lose, what to keep. She's asking for prayer for the sale of her home in Alabama, for the finding a new home in Texas that isn't a burden, and so that they can be a blessing to others. Kim in Fort Mitchell. I like the way she starts it out, gets right to the point. I'm alive, saved, and sober. I could end right there. It'd be an awesome praise report. She said, looking back where I was spiritually 2 years ago and now is a miracle. Life doesn't get easier, but God gives us the tools to handle life. So today I'm grateful. Today is all that is given to me so that I have to do the best I can today. Grateful that I can forgive others today. I can ask God at any point of my day to direct my thinking. She's grateful for her children, for her dog Bruno, for Stacy, Betsy, and this ministry. Praying for our families today, our children, unsaved family members. Deliverance for all of us, protection over homes and possessions. She has an unspoken prayer request for her husband and an unspoken prayer request in a matter that is seeming to go nowhere, but she's believing and praying that he will guide her. Protection over our souls and spirits, over our bodies, our minds, healing us from past experiences that keep us in bondage. Father, you know these things already. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. but we speak them out as you told us to. And we speak them in faith, believing that we will receive in accordance with your word. So we love you, Father. We love you, Abba. We thank you for your love for us, for loving us when we were unlovable, for rescuing us, for looking for us when we were lost. Thank you for the cross. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for asking him to pay our debt and restoring us in right relationship to you. So, Lord, we say thank you to you, and we tell you how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, how much we long to see you face to face. We long to hear the shout of the shofar and the angels. But until then, guide us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to cover us, to fill us, for the fire to burn within us, for us to be able to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to have a word in season. Inspire us to pray, Lord. Fill us with praise. Wake us up in the night with angels praising. Let our spirits join in. Holy Spirit, we thank you for teaching us, for being with us, for walking with us. We thank you for connecting us to the throne room. So, Lord, we clear our minds, we open our hearts, we get ready to receive so that we can give out. Let us be conduits of everything that represents you. And I pray and I ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Spirit of Truth, and I was going to continue that. But then the Lord began to take me deeper into Scripture, and I saw a different direction. So tonight, we're talking about the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. But let's begin, kind of like we did last week, John chapter 16, starting with verse 12. Open your Bibles, your apps, however you follow along. I still have many things to say to you, is the Lord speaking, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So everything that is his will be declared to us. So, of course, the disciples, being who they were, had questions. So after being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, therefore, when they'd come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. As I've said before when I read this scripture, they were asking the wrong questions. But the disciples and the apostles, as they wrote, they began to explain it a little better. So let's jump around a little bit. Go to Ephesians 1, starting with verse 15. I'm sorry. This is Paul speaking, writing to the church at Ephesus. Therefore I, also after I heard of your faith in Adonai Yeshua, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. As verse 17, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. All of this refers back to Acts 1 and John 16, of which he worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All of this ties together. The great thing about the Word, about the Bible, is if you're paying attention anyway, it all ties together. It's all one big tapestry. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, meaning it's the faculty of receiving knowledge in your spirit. What the eye is to the body, the Holy Spirit, your spirit rather, is to the inner man. So through those eyes, through even the eyes of our heart, some of the translation say the eyes of your heart, and that's where your soul resides, you will understand the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and the greatness of his power. But you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit in that manner unless you're born again. See, this isn't intellectual. And that knowledge, we're gonna be jumping to Daniel in a little bit. We have misunderstood when the angel said that they would be seeking knowledge, running to and fro to obtain it. It isn't about technology. It isn't about all these things we've been shown in the videos and the DVDs and in some of the teachings. There's only one knowledge that has any value in who we are and in what we are called to do. And it's the knowledge of him and understanding what his desire is through the Holy Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 10. You know the great thing about these podcasts, these broadcasts, whatever you want to call them, they're recorded. You can download them. You can take notes. You can go to the scriptures I'm mentioning if you can't keep up, because I do get a little excited and talk a little fast. But you can begin to take notes and mark next to those pages and begin to receive what the Word is saying. Starting 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to look for the deep things of God. He's not going to show them to you. He's not going to point them out to you. He's not going to make that scripture become three-dimensional and draw you to it. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given, but freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me just tell you something just happened to show you what the Holy Spirit does. As I'm reading this scripture, and I'm not done yet, and I'm speaking it to you, and I'm also thinking about what I'm saying and seeing it, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to show me things, began to give me flashes of things, which I'm trying to keep up with what I'm saying and what he's showing me. But these things are not from man's wisdom, not from seminaries, not from sitting under. The Holy Spirit will take something I say or something that has been said to me and will confirm it, will take me to the scripture that verifies it, and then begin to enrich it and explain it for me. Picking up on verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Part of our problem in the church is we try to share with the world things that they cannot understand. And then we get frustrated when they don't understand it, when they mock it, when they twist it. Because there's only two kinds of wisdom. There's words of man's wisdom or worldly wisdom, and then there's Holy Spirit wisdom. Look what it says again, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, having said all that, I'm going to pick up where the Lord started me today. That was just kind of the preface, the preamble, to prepare you for where the prologue or whatever, to prepare you for where we're about to go. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, will arise. And then there'll be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people, whose name is written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. The time of the end. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Then many shall run to and fro, search anxiously through the book and for the book, and knowledge of God's purposes are revealed by his prophets, shall be increased and become great. So the angel, many believe to be Gabriel, said, close the book, seal it shut, for its main purpose is concerning things at the time of the end. Keep the prophecy a secret. It will be revealed in his proper time, the fullness of time. Yet, as I've been saved almost these 30 years, I've seen nonstop efforts to unseal the book and understand the time of the end. And I haven't seen too many get it, and I've seen even less come close. Matter of fact, the more I study, the more I learn, the more it is revealed to me by the Spirit, I didn't understand what I was reading. It was sealed, means to be affixed, the sealed, to authenticate a document, to assure its integrity by a king or an official. What they would do is apply some clay or wax and stamp with an impression of his seal. The document would then be carried to wherever it was going, would not be altered, the seal would not be broken. They did it with letters and land deeds and covenants and royal decrees. That's what we're talking about here. Daniel's prophetic announcement symbolically sealed. I think sealed in heaven. I don't think it was just symbolic. Whatever happens on earth, I believe happens in heaven. Indicating that they were authoritative, could not be altered, and would not be revealed until the time of fulfillment. We know in Revelation 5, a seal of a scroll of judgment is broken, indicating the time of its fulfillment has come. Are we living in that time? I will tell you this, I won't go that far, but I will tell you I'm seeing things now that I've never seen in 30 years. And the other day, talking with Pastor Shelley, now we talk once, maybe even twice a week. He'll just call me up with a revelation and say, what do you think about this? And here he is, almost 90 years old, and the Spirit's still flowing and still sharing, and he's still learning, and he's still receiving. That we are in a time unlike anything we have ever seen before. You know what? Let's go to Revelation 5. Let's take a look at that issue which applies to us. This is John the Revelator speaking, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. I wept bitterly because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. He being Yeshua, Ancient of Days, the Father on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. I believe at this moment was the moment when he ascended into heaven, when he was there to sit down at the right hand of the Father. John the Revelator was seeing all of this because what he was seeing was outside of time. He was seeing what had happened, what would happen, and it was all in one picture, and that's what he was seeing at that moment. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, takes the scroll, and we begin the time of the end. How are we supposed to understand any of that? The imagery and the symbolism is so far beyond what the natural mind can understand. Hollywood has tried to take this, and they do such ridiculous things with it because they try to understand it with a carnal mind. Without the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, none of that makes sense. I would not be able to see in my mind's eye as I was reading it, Yeshua, the Lamb of God, walking into the throne room as the Lamb that was slain to take the scroll and break the seal and begin the time of the end. See, knowledge, that knowledge, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of the time of the end, the knowledge of all of creation shall increase during this period of time pertaining to the prophecies. See, we try so hard to make teaching, to make the word fit the teaching instead of the teaching fit the word. And I've read so many books on this and seen so many videos that I now realize got it wrong. There's only one prophecy about the end that means anything. The return of the Lord and the restoration of all things. The beginning of the millennial kingdom. not modern inventions, as the fulfillment of prophecy, not the knowledge of technology and intellect and school. And I've seen the visuals, and I can see them now as I'm saying this, thinking, that's what I thought, that's what I was told was the truth. But the truth is, it's not the truth. None of the future or present inventions line up with that teaching. It doesn't line up with the scripture. The only thing that we should be concerned with is the time of the end. This is all about everything that we're doing. All of these Bible studies are to prepare you for that and to get you to participate in that. So we need the knowledge of his divine plan. We need to understand what the theme of Daniel 12 is, when Michael, the prince of Israel, who guards Israel, stands up and the tribulation period begins. And everything I just read to you out of Daniel 12, 1 through 3, the theme of Daniel 12 is the resurrection of the dead. And it states something very startling, that it won't be the same for everyone. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Two categories of people. Everyone will be resurrected, but not everyone will be the same. Two distinct groups of people, those to experience new life and those to experience eternal shame. They're distinguished by very specific moral, ethical, and spiritual characteristics, not the least of which is, what book are they written in? The resurrection will reveal the true nature of a person and in what status they have with the God Most High. You know, as I worked on this today and I studied this today, starting very early this morning, I began to realize, and I shared it with Deb, my wife, there's been so much we've been told about that didn't really tell us enough. Everything we do, everything we say, every part of our life, we have to give account for. Every word spoken, every thought, every intention. And it'll determine the quality of our eternity. Those who are truly wise, if they're really, really, really wise, have paid attention to their experience with God as their Father, and they have desired to teach others the same. The angel tells Daniel in chapter 12, verse 13, "But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days." He's telling Daniel, you'll be raised in the resurrection and you'll receive an inheritance. Is there anything more valuable than that? What are we spending our time on? Maybe this was just for me today. Maybe this was for me to realize a lot of the stuff we've considered important really had no eternal value. The majority of our time should be helping others to understand that, so that they don't have to deal with an eternity of shame and disgrace and contempt and torment. Revelation 20 expands on that. Start picking up with verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was committed to them. The 24 elders that sit on the throne will judge. We will participate in the judgment. Then I saw the souls of who had been beheaded for their witness to Yeshua and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those that are born again, those that are taken in the rapture of the church, I believe that, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he comes back with his angels, with the saints, to begin and rule and reign, they shall rule and reign with him. Those who are alive on the earth will stay alive. Those who are dead will stay in the outer darkness to await that final judgment. Picking it up on verse 11, and then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire, into the book of life. There's two books. We're going to keep going here. The spirit of wisdom and revelation should be revealing to us why we do what we do. It isn't for here and now. Our best life is not now. If this is our best life, I've been lied to. There are some that believe we're in the millennial reign. That after 70 AD, Revelation's been fulfilled, there is no rapture, there is no second coming, this is it. If that's the case, I've been sold a bill of goods. That doesn't line up with the wonder of the word. That doesn't line up with the beauty and the glory of what's been spoken. God's people will be rescued from death. Everlasting life destroys death. And those who are raised and have had their names inscribed in the book of truth, and the judge, the Ancient of Days, approves them. See, there's so many different names to these books. The book of truth, literally the writing of truth, which would mean the Holy Spirit writes it. The messenger is talking about God's book of truth. Exodus 32, starting with verse 32. Yet now, if you, this is Moses speaking to God, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot them out of my book. Well, that means their name has been written in the book at some time, right? You can't blot something else unless it's already there. Hold that thought. Isaiah 4, verse 3, and it shall come to pass, he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who was recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Malachi 3:16, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. Psalm 69:28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. See, in the Hebrew Bible, the book of life, the book of the living, is kind of a a book or a journal, not a journal, but a muster roll of God, and records forever everybody. Everybody that's ever been born. To get blotted out of that book means you are eternally dead to him. Similar to the Book of Remembrance, which records their deeds and their actions. I've always wondered how, you know, is he going to stand up? I get he's God. He can just have that present as just giant big scroll. No, I think our DNA does that for him. And I think he designed it to do that. But this book of life, which everybody who's ever been born, their name is put into that book. And since he's outside of time, he already knows what will be the end result of that book. That's not predestination. That just means he already sees the end from the beginning. And the Ancient of Days, who I believe is the Father, his garment was white as snow, his hair was like pure wool, the throne was a fiery flame, its wheels of fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. I believe that fire is the Holy Spirit. Thousands of thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Daniel 7, verse 9. This is the knowledge we should have been seeking. This is the understanding that we should have had, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had revealed to the prophets the true aspect of the kingdom of God. And according to Luke 13:28, because they were true prophets and did that for him, their names are already in the Lamb's Book of Life. They waited for Messiah in Sheol. He redeemed them and presented them as first fruits to the Father. That's why the Lord told the disciples in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Paul talks about the Book of Life in Philippians 4:3. Are you starting to see this? Are you starting to visualize that everything you say, everything you do in service to him is recorded? All of your actions, both divine and fleshly, selfish and spiritual, have been recorded. We'll give an account for everything we've ever said or done. Our goal should always have been, it's why we teach our children, which is why we explain it to them at an early age. Our goal is always to be when we stand before him in right relationship with him. But something else has to happen. I'm getting before myself because I'm so excited about this topic. I've been dwelling on this all day. About these books, plural. There's more than one book. There's the Book of Life, which you've been written into because you're alive. And then there's a second book called the Lamb's Book of Life. He has a second accounting. Revelation 3:5, and he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jump with me to Revelation 20, verse 11. We've been there already, a Lamb's Book of Life. That's what I want, 21:27. And the nation of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it back up. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only people that enjoy this eternity in the kingdom of God, in the four square city, and everything we've been working towards, everything we pray for, and when we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, when we ask him to fix it and put it back the way it was, yes, there is a Book of Life, but if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've been blotted out of the other one. I don't know if I'm getting this across or not. When you look at your loved ones who are written in the book of life, they've been born, he created them. Are they written in the second book? The book that will determine where they spend their final eternity. Will they be in the four square city? Will they enjoy that period of time, the millennial reign with the kingdom? Shall they rule and reign with him? Or will they remain dead until the second resurrection and the great white throne of judgment? There are a lot of people, great and famous. There are a lot of people that have become incredibly wealthy, billionaires, trillionaires, if there is such a thing. Men and women, both secular and spiritual, that are going to be shocked when they awaken from their sleep for only the second resurrection. From the beginning of time, when he decided through Adam to make us, and then through Adam and Eve came all the generations after that, he kept track of his creation. Kind of like what we do at the front of the Bible, we put the genealogy in the family tree. He's kept a record. He's cared about others. He's kept in touch with us. He's watched over us. But those that don't accept him, those who sin against him, those who are reprobate and have no chance of redemption, their names are being blotted out of that book. And when that final judgment comes and both books are open, the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, they have a problem. Because if they're not in the Lamb's book of life, then they're judged by their actions. They're judged by the law. No one can fulfill all aspects of the law. And if they fail in one, they're sentenced to eternal damnation by their choices. The only way to understand what I'm saying right now is through the Holy Spirit. The only way to grasp this, to be able to share it with others, is through the infilling of the Holy Spirit and him teaching us. That's what I believe Paul and Peter and John and James, they were trying to get the church, the Book of Acts church, the early church, to understand what the patriarchs and the prophets talked about but never experienced because they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, starting verse 8. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Messiah within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Messiah's sufferings and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for them, but for you. And now this good news, this gospel, has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful, even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. But do we see how wonderful it is? See, as I read, today has been an interesting day for me. The angels are excited about what's happening. They're watching it with excitement. Where's our excitement? Are we not looking at the right things? Are we not understanding the time of the end? See, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came from Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. It was the new covenant. And the full blessings of that new covenant, which is the Holy Spirit, that the prophets were talking about, the fullness of grace, the fullness of the Spirit's anointing upon believers, the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, the redemptive acts and the processes which the law was a shadow of, predicted by the prophets, what we're experiencing right now, that's the knowledge that the angel was telling Daniel people would be seeking. But Hasatan and his brilliant, deceptive nature, and I don't say brilliant because I admire it, I say brilliant because I see how he has blinded people by his light. He's tricked them into believing what they're hearing and what they're seeing is from the throne room when it's not. It's from the heavenlies above the people, but it's not from the throne room itself. A glory and a deception that has pushed people away from what they should have been paying attention to. That's the knowledge we should have been seeking. All the books I've accumulated, all the seminars and teaching, all the videos I've watched, people send me videos, oh, check this out, and I watch it, and I'm going, this is old, and it's wrong. It's a distraction. People are dying right now without the Lord because nobody's cared enough to not only tell them, but to intercede for them, to beat the lion off of them and rescue them. Our brothers and sisters around the world are being slaughtered. Does it grieve anyone? I don't see a whole lot of people posting things about it. I see them posting things about politics and sports and about Hollywood and about all these other things. But outside of myself, on my social media connection, the only people I see posting about our brothers and sisters around the world are the organizations that tell me about it. Why don't we care? Why don't we care that right now in Skid Row, in some city somewhere, some homeless person is laying on a street on the verge of entering into eternity without a life-saving relationship with Yeshua? Why don't we care? Why don't we care that somebody's laying in a hospital or in a darkened room right now, having been taught religion and not relationship, and they don't understand why their prayers aren't being answered? Because nobody's told them that they're not praying to the right person. It's been a lie. It's been a deception. The knowledge we should have been seeking to and fro is the time of the end. When you're coming back, that was at least they got that part right. But they wanted to know about the kingdom. They wanted to know about the restoration of all things. No, I want to know when you're coming back, Lord. What is the sign of your coming? What more must I do to help this process of salvation, the completeness and the wholeness? Why do we live half a life? Well, I'm wholly alive, but I'm not. The prophets understood. They saw it. They talked about it, the real prophets, not the false ones. The only way we can do this is through the Holy Spirit, the fire and the passion of the Holy Spirit, who's telling us what? What is he reminding us? Where did we start? He will tell you everything of me and of what is mine. This is the Lord's heart right now from the throne room. And I am telling you right now from the throne room, I am prophesying to you. The Lord's heart is, I'm coming back soon. Why won't you do what I asked you to do? The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Put aside all these worldly things. Put aside all the things that you've declared have value and find one value only in me. And share it with others. The angels are amazed at this. They're amazed at our relationship with him. They know that because of our relationship with him, when we get our glorified bodies, we will sit in judgment of them. Of course, they have nothing to worry about, the heavenly ones anyway. They understand who we are to the Father. Which is why they hate Israel so much. They understand Israel's place of favor in the Father's heart. and the rise of anti-Semitism and everything we're seeing in the world. I've declared that both the Jew and the Gentile, both the Jew and the Gentile believers will suffer similarly. God's Holy Spirit is the key to entering into eternal life in the kingdom of God. It's also the key to understanding it. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those that do not have the Spirit of Messiah living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Messiah lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God, which raised Yeshua from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Those that do not have the Spirit of Messiah do not belong to Him at all. So as we run to a close here, come to a close, where is your name written? Malachi talks about the book of life, all those that are born written in the book of life. But are you also noted in the Lamb's book of life? When that final judgment comes and both books are opened and you stand before the throne, which we will anyway, even though we've enjoyed that time with Him, you won't be judged by the Father because Messiah will say, that's one of mine. He or she's in my book. Every living creature will stand before Him. Everyone. I have no fear. I actually long for that moment. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. The angels will accompany Him. He will gather the elect and begin the separation of the tares and the wheat. Let's go back to where we started. But you, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book until the time of the end. And then many shall run to and fro, seeking anxiously through the book, and the knowledge of God's purposes, as revealed by His prophets, shall be increased and become great. Close the book. Seal it shut. For its main purpose is the time of the end, the fullness of time. Father, I don't know if I did what You asked me to do. I know I understood it. I don't know if I got it across. And for anyone that didn't, I pray, Holy Spirit, You'd reveal it to them, explain it to them. Show them the books. Show them the scrolls. Give them a visual of that time. Let them see their loved ones whose names are only in one book, the book of life. They're not in the Lamb's book. I have so many in my family that I know that are not in paradise with You, Lord, but are awaiting judgment in the outer darkness, whose names are not in the other book. And they thought it was. They'd been confirmed. They'd been baptized. They'd done all the things they told was enough, and it wasn't. And here we are at the time of the end. The signs declare Your impending return. Help us to understand what is important. Help us to understand, Holy Spirit, what has value, and to put aside everything that doesn't. Let us run the race. Let us finish this race. Let's press on to the higher calling. Let's tell others how much He loves them, why He died for them, and to accept the gift he's given them. Holy Spirit, I ask for your help, for me and for my brothers and sisters. To do it must be done in a time that hates us, oppresses us. The enemy wants to destroy us, but we will rise up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not grow weary. We shall walk and not faint. We shall finish the job. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.